Good evening. I guess I should first say it's good to be back in town. I've been gone for, 3 weeks. I was here Wednesday last week, but I think other than that, I've been gone for pretty much 3 weeks straight. So I feel like I'm turning into my dad. I'm only in town when I speak, basically. No, seriously, it is good to be back, and I should be in town for a while now. So tonight, I just have a few thoughts I'd like to share. Not what we've been looking at lately. We've been looking at the person of the Word of God. We've been looking at Jesus Christ and people who met him. Today I just wanted to share a few things, some thoughts I've been having about the written Word of God and the importance and the value of this book we have in front of us, the Word of God. And some thoughts that I've been having for a while. I've been considering how we sort of devalue the Scriptures and how we have them here before us and how we don't use them as we should. We don't spend the time reading and studying that I should. I say we, but really I'm speaking to myself. And I was at a conference in Kansas a few weeks ago, and a lot of the speakers were saying that, were saying things about the importance of not just reading the Word, not just checking off a couple of chapters every day and saying, okay, I've done my quota, that it's more than that, that it's not just reading a devotional or reading a psalm, but it's really spending time getting down into the Word. So, as my parents could tell you, I'm kind of stubborn and I like to argue. So, that sort of plays into this. I decided that I didn't want to just hear them talk about the importance of the Scripture, that I'd be much more likely to actually value the Scriptures if I went ahead and studied that for myself. So I spent a couple of weeks, and I guess this sort of fulfilled the purpose because I was already studying the importance of studying, which I guess sort of was a good cycle. But so I decided to study the Word of God in the Word of God and see how it's what it's compared to and see what the Bible has to say about itself. So tonight I'd just like to share a few thoughts that I've been seeing, and hopefully it'll be helpful for each of you as well to see the value of the Word of God. So tonight I'm going to look at four essential things that the Word of God is compared to. Or four things that the Bible supplies for us, and then at the end I'll have a few other thoughts, just other thoughts about the Word of God. But okay, so there's four things that we're going to consider that the Word of God provides for us, and a lot of the things I have a lot of references here, and I realize that a lot of these verses are very well known. So I think what's going to work best is if I just say the verse, and you don't necessarily worry about looking it up, because again, a lot of these verses are extremely well known. But the first of these four things that we're going to look at that the Word of God provides for us is nourishment. And we've all heard this a lot. Growing up, I heard the children's song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And then there's the second verse, the corollary. I think it's ignore your Bible or something and forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And that's a scriptural truth that we see borne out in Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2 is a verse that says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So the first kind of nourishment the Word of God is compared to is milk. It's something that we need to survive. Then it's also compared to meat. If you remember, there's two instances in the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, and 1 Corinthians 3, 2, where the authors of those two letters reprove the recipients of the letters, saying that you should be ready for meat, you should be ready for the deeper things of the Word, but you're now still babes, you're still requiring milk. So we see that the elementary things of Scripture are compared to milk, the higher, more advanced, deeper things of Scripture are the meat, and then also sort of an oblique comparison to bread. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. So we're told that it's like milk, it's like meat, and then it's compared to bread. And I was thinking about that. Those are all three very basic foods. They're not luxuries. They're not something that, like shrimp that you'd have every once in a while. It's not a food that you'd occasionally dabble in. It's something you need. It contains things you absolutely need on a daily basis. And I know it's a cliche, or at least to me it is, because I've heard it so many times. But we're often told you wouldn't skip a meal or you wouldn't go a day without eating. So how can you think that you can go an entire day without reading God's Word? I know we hear that a lot, but it's just something good to be reminded of. So that's the first thing. It provides nourishment. And I was trying to imagine the idea of doing without the Word of God, or of just sort of snacking on the Word of God, and how much it's going to damage us. In the same way that not eating or skipping meals is going to leave you weak and sick, in the exact same way that skipping spiritual meals is going to leave us weak and sick spiritually. So that was the first thing, nourishment. The second thing the Word of God provides is guidance. It's compared to a lamp in the Word of God. We all know the verse. Again, it's when we memorize as little children. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So we're told it's a lamp and a light. And I was thinking, I was pondering, meditating, on what a lamp does for you on a dark night. And as I was thinking about it, if you have a lamp and you're walking on a path at night and it's dark, first thing you can see what's right around you. You can see your feet, so it shows you where you're walking. A lamp, if you hold it up high, you can also see what's ahead or what's behind you or to the sides. And it also warns you of danger. So it lets you know if there are cliffs or if there are things that might potentially trip you up. And each of these things is something something that the Word of God does for us. It can show us our walk. It can show us what we're doing right now. It can tell us if what we're doing, where we are, is where we should be, or how we're walking is how we should be walking. So that's the first. The Word of God also tells us about things that are ahead. There are prophecies that tell us things that are coming. And there's also historical information, things that have come before us, things that we can learn from. And it warns us about the things to the sides. It warns us of the extremes of going too far either way. And lastly, it tells us about dangers. It warns us about traps and cliffs we could fall from. And it warns us about error that we could, sin that we could be stumbled by. So in all these things, the Word of God serves to guide us. And again, as we said before, imagine going on that dark night without your lamp, without the Word of God. You wouldn't know where you were. You wouldn't know about potential dangers. So again, just to remind us of the essential nature of the Word of God, having it in our lives, pondering it, meditating on it, we'd be lost, we'd be blind without it. So those are the first two, nourishment and guidance. The third thing the Word of God is compared to is a sword. And again, this is another verse we know, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. We're told that it's the sword of the Spirit, and it's the Word of God. And as I was thinking about the sword, it's, as we're told, the only offensive tool in our arsenal. It's what Christ used when the devil attempted to tempt him in the desert. It's what he was using to fight off the devil, to counter-say what the devil was trying to tempt him to do. So we'll come back to this later, but if we don't know the Word of God, we're not going to be able to use it effectively. It's like a sword. If you don't know how to use a sword and someone attacks you, the sword really does you no good. You're as likely to hurt yourself as you are to hurt them. So in the sense that it's like a sword, it defends us. It provides defense. But it also is something we need to learn how to use. And we need to learn how to practice. We need to use it often. So it provides defense. Not only that, but in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we're told that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing under of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So again, it's compared to a sword, but here the idea isn't so much defense, it's more discernment. It helps us to discern between right and wrong. And again, if we don't know the Word of God, if we don't know it and apply it to our lives, we're not going to be able to know what's right and wrong in our own lives. So it has a defensive application, and it also has an internal application of discernment. The last of these four things that the Word of God is compared to, again, deals with discernment. And this one is a little bit more of a stretch, and it's also maybe not as essential as the others, but the Word of God is compared to a mirror. And I guess some of us think a mirror is essential. I mean, it would be hard to live without a mirror, I guess. But in James chapter 1, James 1, 22 through 24, James compares the Word of God to a mirror. He says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So there we're told that we're not to be doers alone, but that we're not to be hearers alone, but to be doers. And again, this has the idea of not just knowing the Word of God, but applying it. Not just seeing the Word of God, but actually applying those things in our lives. And that, to me, was sort of an exhortation not just to read the Word of God, but to study it. not just to lightly brush over the things that we see, but to actually make sure I comprehend them and to dig deeper. So those are the four examples. It's compared to meat to food, so it gives us nourishment, a lamp that guides us, a sword that defends us and also helps us to discern things, and a mirror that again helps us to discern the things that are wrong in our own lives. And then just a few other thoughts in closing about the Word of God. One, another very familiar verse, Romans 10:17, we're told that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Again, dealing with the importance of knowing the Word of God, the importance of spending time in it, we were saved by the Word of God, by the things we saw in it. And for us to be able to be effective witnesses to other people, we need to know the Word of God so that we can share it. We need to be ready to provide a defense for the things that are in the Word. So we're to know the Word of God, but then we're also told in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. So apart from these other things we've seen, the Word of God is going to be used in our lives to wash us and bring us closer to what Christ wants us to be. Just another very essential reason that we should spend time in the Word, spend time studying it, spend time reading it. And the last thing, this last verse, is really the most persuasive in my mind, the reason that is most compelling to me to spend time studying the Word. This last verse is, again, very familiar. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's very, again, it's a verse that we teach to all the children. It's one of the first verses they memorize. Actually, one of the things I've enjoyed most about Awana is some of the children take a little bit longer to memorize verses. Some are very fast. They come in prepared, but others come in and they don't know their verses. So I help them memorize them. So I've actually picked up dozens, or at least partially picked up dozens of Awana verses just by helping the children memorize their verses. And so that's been great, but I'm relearning a lot of these verses that we teach to children, so that's been really a great experience. But again, that's really just the most compelling reason to me. The love we have for Christ and the abhorrence we should have for sin in our lives, considering that it's sin against him, ultimately. And if we don't know the Word of God, how are we going to know what is sin? If we don't know what the Word says, how are we going to know right from wrong? How are we going to know when we're falling short? So again, I hope that some of these things have been convincing to some of you. It's really a study I recommend that each of you do for yourselves, studying the importance of the Word of God, because I think it's something that when you look at yourself, it becomes much more compelling. You make it your own. But I really hope some of these things will convince us to spend more time in the Word, spend more time reading and more time studying, to lay aside the weights of the world and the sin that doth so easily ensnare us. Let's just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word, for your Son, the Word of God, and for the work he did on the cross for us, but also for giving us your written Word that reveals to us your will. We thank you for preserving it through all these years and bringing it down to us, giving us this complete Word that tells us everything. Thank you, Father, for not changing, for being an unchangeable God, so that we can always rely on you to be the same and know that the same things that pleased you yesterday will continue to please you in the future. I pray that you give each of us here a desire to know more about you, to study your Word more so that we could see more of the beauty of your Son and be drawn closer to him. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.